إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد, yesterday we reminded ourselves and mentioned the ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said and advised us to say اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. Oh Allah, guide us to the path of istiqamah. Now if we look at the surah until now, alhamdulillah, there was a preparation to make the dua, and then the dua was made. So effectively, the surah is complete. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided to add something else to the surah, which is a reaffirmation, which is a clarification, and which is an emphasis for the same dua, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ. Oh Allah, guide us to the path of steadfastness. And that addition is the last ayat of the surah, صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ. We will see the first part of the ayah and reflect on it. صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ, the path of those who had your in'am, the path of those you blessed, the path of those who were granted darajat with you, the path of those who are the people of status with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. I remind myself and you to reflect on this part of this ayah, siratal ladhina an'amta alayhim. Who are the an'amta alayhim? Who are the people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made his in'am on? My brothers, I want to remind myself and you that we can only say about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and about his kitab what he has said. If anyone attempts to say something about Allah or something related to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say, then this comes under the definition of speaking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without knowledge, which in the Quran Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called it the worst of the sins. The worst of the sins. To say something about Allah, to say something about the kitab of Allah, to say something related to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, about which we have no knowledge. And therefore, one must be very careful about what we say when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, we are likely to be held accountable before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for speaking about him without knowledge. And that is not our job to do. The reason I'm saying is that the issue of who are the people who received the in'am of Allah, we have a tendency, sometimes some people have a tendency of saying more than they have the right to say. So who are the people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made his in'am on? What did Allah say? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَنَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ حَسُنَ أُولَئِكَ رَفِيقًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the in'am of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been on the anbiya, on the prophets and messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on the anbiya and rasuls of Allah. من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين. Now, among these four categories of people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala named a certain number of his anbiya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala named 24 of his anbiya. He specifically named them. And then out of the Siddiqeen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala named a few. The Shuhada, Wallah ala. We know that somebody died in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what was this person? Is this person one of those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts as a shaheed in his path? Do we know this? Can we say this about somebody with certainty? We can say, I hope the person will be considered a shaheed. But can we say that so and so was a shaheed? This is a matter of speaking with about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with knowledge or without knowledge. We hope that so and so who died in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or who died in a way among the many ways that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said for which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them the daraja of shahadat, we can say, I hope Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will include this person among the shuhada. But if somebody says so and so was a shaheed, then this person is speaking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without knowledge, and this is the worst of sins. About the Salihin, can we say about anybody that so and so is among the Salihin? Has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala named any of the Salihin? Do we know that there are people who are Salihin? Yes, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said this. But can we say about so and so or so and so that this person is among the Salihin? This person is among the awliya of Allah. This person has this daraja with Allah. This person is a wali of this level, and another person is a wali of a higher level, and a third person is a wali of the highest level. Can we say this? Do we have dalil? And the answer is, no, we cannot say it. We have no dalil. The people who say it have no dalil. And those who say it are committing the worst sin according to the Quran, which is to speak about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without knowledge. This is not our job. We have not been appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make statements with regard to the levels of his subjects, levels of his slaves. We have not been given this rank. Allah did not tell us, you please tell me what is the level of so and so and so and so. So therefore, let us not extend our tongues and let us not extend our authority beyond where it is. Let us worry about whether I am among the awliya of Allah. Don't worry about whether so and so is among the awliya of Allah. Even if you are right, and that person is among the awliya of Allah, and you are among the awliya of shaitan, then that person will go into Jannah and you will go into Jahannam, no matter what you were doing or saying. So that makes no sense. Let us worry about whether we are among the people on whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made his inam. The reason I am saying this is, because in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us to make specific dua. O Allah, include me among those on whom has been your inam. Sirat al-ladhina, whose sirat, whose road, whose path? Sirat al-ladhina, an'amta alayhi. Now, two things to understand. First part to understand is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already told us, Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim. What is the need to say Sirat al-Ladina an'amta alayhi? Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim is enough, because Sirat al-Mustaqim is where is we have mentioned. This is Sirat al-Mustaqim. We know what it is. Why should you say Sirat al-Ladina an'amta alayhi? First reason is because this is, as I said, reiterating and emphasizing, which is this Sirat? Which is this road? Sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim. We are further delineating the road. For example, if I tell you that, please go to road number 1 in Manjar Hills. And then I'm saying that road number 1 is the one on which there is care hospital. Right? So what have I done now? I have demarcated. You cannot go wrong with that, because care hospital is a well-known landmark. And I say road number 1 is the one on which this hospital is there. So if I told you road number 1, you might think, well, you know, is this one or that one? Maybe you are confused. Allah Allah. But I give you a landmark. I give you several landmarks. Road number 1 is the one on which there is care hospital. The same road on which there is this mall and that mall, whatever it is. Right? So now you are clear, because the place has been earmarked. Specifically, landmarks have been given. Can't go wrong. So, Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim, and then which Sirat al-Mustaqim is this? Maybe I think it is something else. No. Because today, we live in a world where the path of success, the roads to success, lifestyle choices, there are many. And many people come up with all kinds of options. Somebody sent me a report of a so-called masjid. I'm saying so-called masjid because according to me that's not a masjid. So-called masjid in the UK, in London I think it is, where they say this masjid is a masjid where men and women pray together and it is open to gays, and you have the imam who is a woman, and Jum'ah is done by a woman, and men and women all sit together in the same row and so on and so forth, and they say, well, this is Islam. So we say that this masjid is in, you know, this is a couple of things. Now, when they asked this person, there was this, they said in the report that there was this lady who is going to a university. It's a practicing Muslim lady who is going to a university to study. So they asked, so this lady said, well, you see, there's no need for any alim, there's no need for any scholar. We can read the Quran, we can interpret, and that's all there is to it. Right? Now, I don't know why somebody didn't ask her, then why are you going to university? Because if this is true for the Quran, then this must be true for everything else also. So then you don't need to go to university. You can pick up a book and read it and you can interpret and so on. So why do you go to the university? But people don't ask this question. They're too dumb. They just get taken away. My point is, so these people say, well, we are worshipping. I'm talking about the need for Sirat al-Ladina an'amta alayhim. What is the need for that? Because Sirat al-Mustaqim, now here is a bunch of people who have interpreted what is Sirat al-Mustaqim. According to them, Sirat al-Mustaqim is to do whatever they are doing. Right? So they say, we are worshipping Allah. So my point is, it's not whether you are worshipping Allah or not. The point is that is your worship accepted by Allah? Because Allah did not say, worship me any way you like, and I am bound to accept it. Allah did not say that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a specific way of worshipping Him. He sent a specific form in which it is to be done. He sent a kalam which is to be recited in this worship. I cannot stand in salah and I cannot recite a beautiful nasheed which is written by Allama Iqbal or which is written by, you know, Sheikh Saadi or which is written by whoever, right? Maybe one of the biggest scholars of Islam who has written a beautiful nasheed and hamd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I decide that I am going to pray, and instead of reading Surah Al-Fatiha, which is in Arabic and most of the people don't understand it anyway, why not read this beautiful nasheed of hamd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is amounts to the same thing. So why don't I do that? Or even when I am, this is also happening incidentally, when I am reading Salah, instead of saying Surah Al-Fatiha in Arabic, because people don't understand Arabic, why don't I say it in English? The translation of Surah Al-Fatiha. Because people should understand. So I say, I begin in the name of Allah, the All Beneficent and the All Merciful. All praise and thanks be to Allah, who is the Lord of the world. Why don't I say that? I can say it. I mean, nobody is going to shoot me in the head if I say it. But is my salah acceptable or not? And what is the proof of that? How can somebody say that someone who is reciting Surah Al-Fatiha in English in Salah, this person's Salah is not acceptable? If you have an imam who is a woman, if you have an imam who is doing all of this kind of stuff, then that Salah is not valid. How do you say that? Is it my opinion? Is it something? No. Because the only Salah which is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Salah of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Salah of those who follow the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, he said, Sallu kama ra'aytumuni yusalli. He said, pray as you have seen me pray. So our Salah is not something which is invented by us. It is not something that we feel like doing and we do it. It is something which has been sent down by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a specific form, the external form of it, the internal form of it. How you stand, how you bow, how you make sujood, what must you wear and what can't you wear, what state of purification is essential, what state of purification is over and above that, what is to be recited in the salah loudly, what is to be recited silently, what are the tasbihat, what state should I be internally in terms of my heart, all of these have been specified and defined. It has not been left to our whims and fancies. It has not been left to our own desires to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in whichever way we like, even though our desire may be based on a good intention, even though I may think that I want to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala much more, and therefore I have invented what I consider to be a much superior form of salah, that salah will be rejected on the day of judgment, that salah will not be accepted when it is made or when it is presented before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because it does not follow the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is what you are saying here when we say, Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, sirat al-lazina an'amta alayhim, specifically, not any way in terms of worship, not any way in terms of the ways of so-called ways of success. Somebody says, why don't you start a business and, you know, take a loan from a bank, pay interest, so what? This is a world which is full of interest. You cannot escape interest anyway. You may as well take advantage of it. And people have all kinds of arguments in favor of doing what Allah has made haram. And so also the same thing applies. People have legislated, people have legitimized and made halal what Allah has made haram. People have said music is fine. People have said drinking alcohol is fine. People have given all kinds of opinions and so on and so forth. All leading to what? They think that those are the paths of success. They think success is to do things in a particular way. They think even in the work of da'wah, people think success is to have publicity. Success is measured by how many people come to your function. Success is measured by how many people are watching your lectures. Success is measured by how many people come to your conference. Success is measured by how much money you made in that conference. Success is measured by how many TV channels you have, or how many TV channels you are, your lectures or whatever you do is being aired on. People think that is success. Even in the work of deen. All of this is from shaitan. All of this is from shaitan. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us very specifically, which is the sirat al-mustaqim? Sirat al-ladina an'amta alayhi. The path of those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed. And as I told you, who are the people Allah blessed? The nabiyyin wa siddiqeen wa shuhada wa salihin. In these four, whose level is the highest? An-nabiyyin, the level of the anbiya. And among the anbiya alayhimus salam, who is the one we follow? Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And about this Nabi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Yasin wal Qur'an il Hakim, innaka laminal mursaleen ala siratim mustaqim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically certified, and he said that you are among my rusul, you are among the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you are on siratim mustaqim. So my brothers, I want to remind myself and you that when we are saying Sirat al-Ladina an'amta alayhim, what are we asking Allah for? We are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a life which follows the sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Make no mistake. You have specifically made dua. Oh Allah, guide me to the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sirat al-Ladina an'amta alayhim is the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You just stood there and you made this dua. O Allah, guide me to the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then after you finish your salah, you go to the bathroom, and before you go to work, you shave your beard. What have you done? You lied before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You asked Allah to guide you to the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and then you go and you break the sunnah and you destroy the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam only to please your nafs. What other reason is there to shave your beard? When you know it is a sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, deny it and tell me in front of me that this is not the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What other reason is there except to please your nafs? So what iman is this? What salah is this? What Islam is this? Don't tell lies before Allah. And I'm giving only one example, because that's the most obvious example. But the same thing applies. Sirat al-Ladina an'amta alayhim, we make this dua, and then we go and lie, and we cheat, and we ill-treat people, and we curse, and we abuse people, and we oppress people, and we do all kinds of stuff.
We swallow people's land, we grab land and we grab buildings and we do all sorts of stuff. May Allah protect us from these. What did you just ask Allah? And what is your behavior showing? Reflect on the Quran. Reflect on the Quran and say, oh Allah, am I lying to you? What is worse than lying is lying. But to lie in a state of salah, standing on the musalla before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. What is worse than that? Tell me. Sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim. Specifically we asked, oh Allah, guide us to the path of the one of those who you blessed. And the best of those is Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we stood here and we made dua. Oh Allah, guide me to the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So make sure that when you make this dua, that you also take actions which are leading to the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? Because that is the only path which is lighted. That is the only path which is illuminated. That is the only path which goes to Jannah. Everything else goes somewhere else, where we don't want to go. The only path which goes to Jannah is the path of Muhammad or Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm saying this specifically because even if somebody says I'm following the path of Musa or Isa, that does not guide to Jannah. Even though they are the Rasuls of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and it is part of our aqidah to accept them as the messengers of Allah. But if somebody says I am on the path of Musa alayhi salam or Isa alayhi salam, and how do I say that? Because of the hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he said that after my coming, if somebody dies without Islam, if someone dies with anything other than Islam, then he is in the hellfire. And also this ayat of the surah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned specifically, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِي غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Allah said, anyone who comes with any deen other than Islam, this will not be accepted from him. And he will be among the losers on the day of judgment. Who are the losers? The people who will be in the hellfire. And the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Where Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu came with some pages of the Torah, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him that if Musa was alive alayhi salam, he would be on my Sharia. So therefore, the only path that leads to Jannah is the path of the Sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today there is a big fitna. People say that we follow the Quran, nothing else is needed. Alhamdulillah, we have the hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who said, and the meaning of the hadith, he said a day will come when the people of my ummah will be sitting on sofas, leaning against pillows, and they will say, the Quran is sufficient for us. And he said that they are the people who will be misguided, who are the people who will be in the fire. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam predicted this. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam predicted that a day will come when people will say these things. And that they will be in the hellfire. So let us not fall into either of these traps. Either to say that we don't need the sunnah at all, or to take from the sunnah that which pleases our nafs and to leave that which does not please us. How many people give each other targhib when we are sitting for dinner and so on and saying, please eat some sweet, this is sunnah. So you think about sunnah only when you want to eat sweets. Or suddenly you decide that you want to follow the sunnah of having more than one wife. And then you go and get married. And all these more than one wife people, they all marry only 18-year-olds. I've never seen somebody marrying a 50-year-old widow with 3 children. To follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's what you should do. Seriously, because that's what he did. No. Suddenly they think of sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because it's your nafs, it's not sunnah. What you are doing is your nafs. There is no sunnah involved in this. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us to the sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. By saying, Sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to do what we have asked, to give us what we have asked, to give us istiqamat and sadaqat in what we speak, and to give us istiqamat in doing what we have asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to do. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our eyes to the blessed nature and the sweetness of following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that we do it with great pleasure, and we do it with great shauk, and we do it with great desire to do this, because number one, it is the only guaranteed path of success, and number two, because it pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.